he wanted to keep going in the path that he was going and having a tighter grip on the industry. And the companies said, that's enough. How much of his shit can we take? We're going to... Also, it was in preparation for his successor, okay, that whoever came in after him should not think that this is going to continue like this and so forth. Or we were going to teach him a lesson kind of thing.
Well, what were the primary issues in the strike?
The pension.
Was there a pension?
Yes,
there was, but it was a matter of increasing.
Increasing, and we wanted to replace it, and succeeded in switching over to 401k, which was increasingly popular in the industry. So, from the Teamster having control of all the money and so forth, so that was probably the central issue of the strike. And the guy to talk to, if you want a real detail on the strike, is John Dodge, an attorney who now works for an insurance company. He left the law field after his strike leadership deal. He was a strike leader. Mm-hmm. And he really has the inside track on the...
There were negotiations. Negotiations broke down because the laundry owners weren't going to, wanted the 401k. The union was trying to keep or enhance a defined pension.
Right.
And so then you folks on the corporate side just decided that was it. And could you tell us, sort of how the strike went? That's a long strike.
Yes, and it was it. We were working, and Irene got into the business at that time, up to her ears, and she and I, we must work 7 days a week, and we're back to 7 days a week, not on strike, though. Problem was, at first, the inside union tried to cooperate with the Teamsters, brother union people. And so we didn't have... Oh, I got to tell you this incident. At the time, my son, who is now a doctor in Seattle, was in high school and on the Oak Park football team. So the first day of the strike, we didn't have any people in the plant. So I called and I said, David, can you bring us some of your football players? So about 15 high school kids, they were having fun. They were throwing stuff around. And until the, of course, our inside people didn't have any strike benefits. And, they had no issue involved here in a strike. They started to gradually come back to work, so we didn't need the Oak Park football team, which was not renowned for its football prowess. But anyway, that 1 or 2 days that they came to help us out was a moral lift. And the union got, the Teamsters got wind of it. They called up the head of the school district, threatened to throw a picket line around the high school. So the team said, that's great, let them throw a picket line, we won't go to school. But that was sort of an amusing byplay of the thing. We would arrange rendezvous points for our inside people to meet in the morning, and we would convey them into the plant across the picket line so no harm would come to them. Of course, with unions and strikes, there's all kinds of shenanigans that go on and whatnot.
Why don't you explain a few of those?
Well, one of them, I got to tell you, my wife is a heroine. She comes from Brooklyn, and she don't take no shit. She's a Did you meet her?
Yes.
She's a 5-foot-tall lady, very outstanding, a brilliant lady. In fact, I got to tell you this story too. At one point in her medical exam, she had a MRI. The doctor came out of the MRI. He said, "My God, I never saw such a tremendous brain on anybody." But I knew all this when I married her. I mean, she was junior 5'8" from Hunter College, New York, and we solidified our relationship when I was in service. I went through that with you guys. Anyway, she mixed it up with the picketers at one point, and she was guilty. She attacked the prison. They were trying to prevent people from coming in and leaving and so forth. But she, maybe I'll let her tell you the story.
No, please.
And the Teamsters took her to court. They charged her with aggravated assault. So the guy she assaulted was over 6-foot-tall, and here's a 5-foot. The judge dismissed the case. But
what did she do?
She hit him. I don't know what the hell she
had an argument.
Yeah, she told him to get out of the way, and he wouldn't get out of the way. So I think she pushed him and so forth. That was, you know, nothing serious, but it was sort of a interesting byplay. Well, it was difficult to get people. At first, we thought the customers would drive into our plant to pick up goods and so forth, but that didn't work out. Only one customer ever showed up to cross the picket line, and that didn't last too long. They were threatened, and you know, they had nails across the driveway, you know, the usual picketing shtick that went on. And some people we were able to sneak in to work. We had to make payroll, so you know, this didn't make any sense to me. In the first week of the strike, at that time our office was Teamster too. That was another deal with my friend Isaac Litwack. So he took the office on strike. How are you going to make payroll? You know, we owe the people money. We got the money. We got to make the checks. But anyway, we snuck somebody into the office, and they made the payroll. And that was the last payroll. Anyway, everything was a crisis. Everything you wanted to do. You know, you run a business. Things happen because you got routines and you got suppliers and whatnot. The net result, at that time, our biggest account, I think, was Wrigley Market. We had that the chain of Wrigley Markets. And they did without, that's all. They used a lot of paper. Came into play and so forth, and we lost a third of our business during that period. And as a result of that, I can't tell you how many and who at this point, but a lot of the companies just folded. They went out of business.
Okay, so then, I mean, after 28 weeks, did it go to arbitration, or did you finally settle on the contract?
No, it was negotiated. It didn't go to any.
Were you involved in the negotiations?
No. I was involved in trying to function, to take care of our customers. That was my role.
This on the record. Let me frame a question for you. So your business has changed dramatically over the years. I assume it goes with the ups and downs of the economy as well as innovations like the casinos coming in. But has your marketing changed? I get the impression that you rely on salespeople to go door to door, more or less.
Right.
Could you tell us a bit about your sales and marketing in this modern era?
Well, we subscribe to, for example, each week we get a list of new restaurants opening up, okay, and we assign them to our people. They're supposed to call on these people and sign contracts and make new customers for us. Our Robman, our paid commission for, besides they work on a commission, they still have a pretty good earning record. I can't remember the numbers, but some of them earn $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. It's not a skilled job. It's driving a truck, picking up soil linen, and bringing in clean linen, and handling customer complaints. And we also enlist them in re-signing contracts. They get paid a commission if they re-sign a customer contract. And
I'm sorry, just to clarify for myself. So the salesman and the route drivers are one and the same?
No.
No.
Separate people.
Separate people, but the route drivers may make sales as they go as well.
It should. And add products to what they are selling their existing customers. Okay? As I said, we have maybe 25 different... Let's see what I got here. Anything that... We got so many reports now. My reports got reports. We have about 17, 18 routes, and we cover Southeast Michigan, and we go to Flint. We deliver directly to Flint. And of course, Ann Arbor, Lansing, and our competition is coming into Detroit from this is non-union competition. Still, the Teamsters never reached out and grabbed these guys. To my sorrow, if I'm organized, I want my competition to be organized. There's a company in Kalamazoo. There's a company in Lansing, a couple of companies in Lansing, and they come into Detroit. Now they, of course, our argument with prospects is you got to deal with Detroit companies. These people come in from out of state. That money's going out of state. We need the money here. And so they have, they have branches of their own that they set up for the Detroit area to help service the Detroit market, as we're doing in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Toledo company that comes here, and a couple of Toledo companies come here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but this is the way the industry is organized. I mean, we're no different than any other company out there.
So to wrap up the business end for at this time, I'd like to ask a question. So in a few words, how do you sum up the nature of your business, and what do you see as its future?
How do I sum up the nature of... We just started a new venture 2 months ago. We hired a guy in direct sales. We've never done this before, but we read the market and we got to go where we got to go. A lot of the new small businesses are trying to make a brand. Like, you go to a restaurant and you have the waiter, and he's got the name of the
restaurant.
The restaurant, his name embroidered on it, and so forth. We rent these kind of clothes now. That's part of our business. Well, but there's also a part, for example, we've been doing this with a Japanese company for a number of years. They decided they didn't want the expense of renting clothes for their employees. Once a year, they buy work clothes for the employees, and they buy them from us. You know, we're happy. We don't. It's got a lot of advantages. You don't have problems with processing and delivering. And once the sale is made, we don't even handle the goods. We can have it shipped direct to the customer. All we do, we collect the money and pocket the profit, if there is any, in the thing. So we started a new branch in our business. And, you know, this guy is terrific. He came from a competitor. He was unhappy with the conditions there and so forth. And so he's been in the business. He's trained and so forth. He's doing a great job. We're very pleased with him.
What's his name?
I don't know his name.
Okay.
I can find out, but I don't know. Do you know him?
No.
He has the, we built an office for him next door to me here. It's right now we're looking for a guy in Toledo. We want a guy who lives in Toledo, knows people there, knows the market there, and we're having trouble recruiting somebody.
What do you see as the future in the larger sense? Do you think the business will be able to survive Cintas and the national corporations?
Oh, yeah. Cintas, we take a lot of their stops. They are so arrogant. See, part of the deal is our plus is our attitude toward our employees and key people. This table is the center of daily meetings that go on where we cover not only costs, but complaints. We have a program where DMs, district managers, are to visit customers quarterly to see if they have any complaints. If they have any, and you know, right now we're congratulating ourselves. We have very few people that are quitting us. They do quit though, and especially now with the recession going on, their pressure will be our biggest market, our restaurants and caterers. So, but yeah, there's a future, of course. Mm-hmm. Whether we'll be in that future, I don't know. That's another matter. Listen, I'm 85. How long can I live?
One last business question.
Yeah.
So, young person comes in here, 23 years old, and they ask you, what is your business advice for success? What would you tell them?
Well, you got to learn the market, and you've got to be involved with your people. I give ourselves A plus on this, and maybe you should ask that question to Terry Nix, okay? Our involvement with our people, if something is wrong, if there's a defect in our process, some of our goods doesn't come out on time, Irene and I are involved in it, and everybody knows that we're involved in it. Okay, it's not that we're sitting in a corporate office 1,000 miles away reading reports. Okay, we're dealing with people, with human flesh and blood. I don't know if I'm over dramatizing this, but the involvement is the key. Okay, that is, and you disseminate this feeling to your key people, and they get involved, in the same way. And we have a hotline. People can call up in the middle of the night, on the weekend, anytime, and they can get service at any time that they need. I'm running out of napkins. Well, we'll ask Terry how many to tell us what kind of calls he's had this week from people. And different holidays come and so forth. Foreseeing what our customers' needs are. And we do a service job, and that's what we're here for. That's why people pay us. They may grumble at the cost, but
you need
that's it. The way it is. Yeah.
I'd like to move to just a few of your personal things you've done in the Detroit area. Now, I have a list here: Board of United Hebrew Schools, Jewish Social Service Organization, Labor Zionist Institute, and you've won some awards, including from Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
Well, we bought those awards. They're on the wall there. We contributed substantial sums of money. Incidentally, that's one of my dad's heritages to me. Last year, we gave to charity $70,000. Okay, that's Irene and I and General Lennon, okay, in various ways. And that's a substantial... Oh, I got to tell you this story. Yeah, I'm sorry. Going back to the Union and the Federation, as I told you, my dad was head of the Histadrut campaign for many years, and that was part of my inheritance from him. I took over his job, and I followed up his pledges and so forth. Anyway, the Federation, and this has got to be 2000, but it was under Isaac Litwack's deal. My dad, of course, was soliciting our employees for the Histadrut campaign, and my dad got Isaac involved to support. After all, it was labor only in Israel. The Federation didn't like and doesn't like competition. They wanted to be the only Jewish fundraising organization. And there was a little a cultural gap here. I don't know how familiar you are with the Jewish community, but the early Jewish community were composed mainly of German Jews, people who came here from Germany, and the owner of the New York Times is one example. What the hell's his name? Sulzberger. And anyway, locally, the Federation was dominated by German Jews. And my father, of course, came from Poland, and they were, until after the Holocaust was revealed, really either anti-Zionist or lukewarm to Israel. Okay, after the Holocaust, the atmosphere changed quite a bit.
German Jews.
Yeah, German Jews. Excellent. Anyway. So, the Federation didn't like the competition from the Histadrut campaign. The Histadrut campaign was a small segment of fundraising, but still, it was a competitor. They didn't know where it would go. So, they negotiated a deal with my dad and Isaac Litwack and the Federation that the Isaac would intensify his fundraising activity, and as I told you, most of the companies at that time were Jewishly owned, and they hired Jewish Rabban. They were the source of the contributions, and Isaac had leverage on him, okay, and he didn't let him forget it. So they made a deal to that the Histadrut campaign would be incorporated in the Federation campaign. And that that made peace in the fundraising family at that time. Anyway, that was an interesting byplay.
Well, maybe if you could speak to some of your community work. What was your favorite? What was your favorite occupation as a community activist?
Well, I was on these boards, but that's an honorary shtick for the most part. And I really got disgusted with almost all of them because...
Textile associations? Or what boards do you mean?
No, I'm talking about the local boards here. Except for the Board of Education, where I spent four bitter years on the Oak Park School Board. And I was probably the only conservative on the board. The rest were Democrats. And I had an interesting byplay. I put to use my counterintelligence training in the U.S. Army. In the Oak Park community, at one time, there was a conflict in the community. The administration, the school administration, wanted to pass a millage to open a junior high school, and the community turned thumbs down on the millage. So they retaliated. The school administration retaliated on the community by not opening that school that was scheduled to be open. And Oak Park was a Catholic community, but the Catholic community had their own schools. They weren't involved in the public school issues. And so I became, and Irene and I had three kids in school, and that's why we moved to Oak Park, was they had a good reputation as a school system. So we formed a sort of a rump group, and I got elected on a program of anti-administration stuff. Anyway, I had an old friend who was in the school administration, and she was sympathetic with our group, and I used to get information sub rosa from the school board, from the administration meetings, of what their tactics were and what they were going to raise in the board. And it drove the administration crazy as to how I learned about all this stuff. But that was the fun part of it. But that I was involved in up to my ears for 4 years. And I had enough after that time. And I was at the bottom of 6-1 votes for a lot of the time. A couple things I got accomplished, but nothing tremendous. And my kids all graduated. They went to, two of them went to Michigan. My daughter went to Wellesley. And my kids got a good education. That was a...
Mm-hmm.
That's the lawyer. She.
That's good. Sure. Let me say that again, though. I think we've covered most of the major events in your life and the benchmarks, and some very nice stories in here and some interesting stories. So how about if we end with this? How do you sum up your business life, your professional life in Detroit, and what do you think about the Detroit experience? I realize that's quite broad.
I'd do it again if I had the opportunity. Okay, how does that...
No, do you have any general...
Well,
you know, perspective.
I love Detroit. Okay, I mean this is a vibrant community. Of course, I don't love the current mayor, and some of the shenanigans. But what's terrible is the educational system. It has to be redone from top to bottom all over the country. Countries come on. What's the name of Russia's northern neighbor? They had a war with them.
Finland?
Finland. Finland. A little country, you know, with no resources really to speak of. Their students come out tops in the world. That's shameful for America. And Detroit is at the bottom of this pit. And I don't see any hope. I'm sure there are some great black activists, but until that education system is overhauled, it's just going to be bad. And we have to train people. They have to learn. Here's a story from my granddaughter. This is the daughter of the attorney. We were at her graduation, so she tells us a story in her community. They live in New Jersey. There are a lot of families from Asia. So the high school kids are kibitzing with one another, and they have to do some calculation. So my granddaughter says, well, if you'll give me a calculator, I'll figure out what the answer to this thing is. So her Asian friends says, hey, we're from Asia. You got to figure this out in your head. Mm-hmm. You can't use a calculator. That mentality, okay? We've got to bring that here into the inner city. You know, there are some great black people and outstanding. And, well, that was another thing. While I was on the Oak Park School Board, during World War II, there was a section north of 8 Mile Road in Wyoming that where housing for black workers was created. And they had a school, the Carver School, an elementary school. And the head of that elementary school was a black guy, but he was more also head of the black community there. And Governor Williams eliminated that school district by fiat and attached that to the Oak Park system while I was on the school board. Well, there were some reverberations in the community. Some people didn't like it and so forth. And the blacks didn't like it. At that time, they organized a little group, and I volunteered to the black community to publish any material that they wanted to oppose the closing of this Carver School. And this work was done in this office here. It happened anyway, and Oak Park did a credible job of integrating the school, but the black principal lost his job because he didn't have the seniority or whatnot in the Oak Park school district. Anyway, one of my frustrations was the liberals, left-wing people, school busing. What an idiotic idea! What a stupid... They had their head up their ass. And now they instituted busing at great expense, and it's still segregated because all the whites moved out of Detroit. You know, they couldn't foresee this thing. Anyway, that... How did I get on that? That's not relevant.
I think you got on it because we were talking about just overall what you thought about Detroit, and it's obvious you have a passion for education. You've brought it up several times during the interview. Sure.
Yes. Again, this is a big Jewish mantra, as you know, I'm sure. And for myself, you know, I came here and I got into the family business, and I had a thought. I wanted to get a PhD. What did I need a PhD for? I didn't need it, and I didn't get it. But the thought that people that I went to school with at Michigan have really, many of them have achieved great things in their field. And the Google thing enables me to reach back to them and see what some of them have done, and including Nobel Prize and prize in, there's one guy who tried to get me through chemistry, and my thick head, I wasn't able to absorb chemistry. That's before I moved into economics, which was easy, you know. Anyway, this guy tried to get me through it, won a prize in science that's equivalent to the Nobel Prize. I don't remember the name of the of the prize, but big thing. And it's, I don't see how we have overlooked this, and you know, this, the teachers union, ridiculous kind of stuff. You know, one of the problems in Oak Park, when it was a bad teacher, it was too expensive and difficult to go through the process of discharge, okay? So they would send the bad teachers to one school. What are you doing to the kids in that school? Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, it's so stupid. And self-defeating, yes, I have a passion for education, okay.
For the record, is there anything else you'd like to put on the record?
Not right now. I'll read it, and if anything comes up, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not bashful, as you can see.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Are we ready for...